and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to another edition of New Retirement Radio, live on WTCM with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, Certified Financial Planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. Jolly, good to see you again this morning on the 4th of February, 2021. Here we go with the time, and it flies by, and of course joining us today is Heidi Thompson, too.
Welcome, good morning. Heidi. Good morning. Thank you.
So we have lots of things to talk about here. I just wanted to show you here, Ron. Here's the most recent
shot. There's the baby.
Yeah, the baby.
That's the grandchild?
The grandson.
Grandchild. Most recent one, number six.
What's his name?
Ike.
Oh, I like the name.
They like Ike.
I like Ike.
Yeah, he's got a little moniker there, and it's always fun.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Motivated by the community we have here in Traverse City, I can't say how much I appreciate our listeners coming to see us and some becoming clients. We have some amazing relationships in this community, and frankly this morning thinking, well, we don't talk about this a lot, but we are deep into this community, and we appreciate your loyalty, and we appreciate your questions that you bring to us on the radio show. It is a passion to me, and why? Number one, I love to teach. Always have. Somewhat of a story there in that I've always loved the underdog. I'm always cheering for the underdog. And as a part of that, bringing people, helping them get more information than they might otherwise have and helping them get to the next level of their own financial independence, their own retirements. Because of this shift, well, frankly, Dennis, it's probably kind of handy that you're in this industry. I get it, but I do love to teach. And this retirement planning class that we just started up again, that was so much fun personally to have our first class here in some time, live class
in
right there on NMC's campus.
With people in the same
Woo-hoo!
Room.
Yeah, 10 to 12 people. You know, we have to have the distancing and all that stuff, of course. But it was just great hearing the questions back and forth, and people are engaged.
Yeah.
You know, we need to know this stuff.
It's great to be able to interact in person.
Yes,
talk about being inspired or that, just getting back to seeing people live and interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is what we need, our brains need, and everybody gets it. I mean, we've got to have it. We've got to have this interaction. I had a client say to me a couple of days ago, he said, Dennis, we're losing the art of conversation back and forth. And I said, oh, my gosh, you are so right. I was thinking about that for a day later. He was very right on. Yes, Ron, you had something there.
Well, when you talk about the relationships in this community, most of your clients, I would guess, right in the five-county Grand Traverse region.
Absolutely.
But do you have how far are they from other parts of northern Michigan?
Well, you know, some of them go to Florida in the winter, Arizona. So we do have a few who are, you know, hither and yon. But the majority, I would say, 90% of our clients are within this five-county region.
But we do have clients in about 27 states.
Oh.
So, you know, people who have lived here and started the relationship with us as their financial advisor, they move and now with Zoom and the technology, Or they still summer here, or they come back to see family here. So they'll bop in once a year, but we'll do the rest of our business via phone or Zoom.
Yeah. Or they come to see us and see their family. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. Yeah. They tell the family, we came to see Dennis and Heidi, but as long as we're here, we might as well have a meal with our family.
Yeah.
Well, John, we did want to see you, but, you know, after all, yeah, never mind, you know. So it's great to be here, and thank you for joining us. So what are we going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about, given the email blast, retiring once. How do we not go back? How do we get there? How does that make sense? And what are some of the markers that we ought to be thinking about? So we have a lot of stats this morning. And Heidi is going to be talking about the different buckets of money in terms of thinking about those for income. And actually, she's using the material from the Flourish class.
That's right. I pulled it out of the file cabinet. We haven't been able to have Flourish for quite a while. And that is our education series that Shay Pataja and myself develop. And we teach, and it is just, it's designed for women to be able to have a discourse back and forth on different financial topics and to learn the questions to ask and what certain things mean so that they can make better decisions. And it's a lot of fun, and it is a passion of Shay and mine to put this on each year. But we've had been in hiatus here, and we're just waiting till we're allowed to back
for
out
only
there.
So long. We want to see
where did you
continue.
Hold that last time?
Last time we had it at the Country Club, but okay. We've also been at Red Ginger and some other sites around town, and we try to mix it up and make it fun, and, you know, it's one of those relational things, so that's what you guys were talking about, the strain on that part of our life, and I think there's a lot of pent-up excitement about when we're let out again.
Yes.
You bet. We're everybody gets it. We're starting to be on the last chapters, I think, of COVID. The numbers are coming down. If you look at the stats, speaking of stats, the hospital admittances and that sort of thing, those numbers are coming down rather dramatically in the last 3 weeks or so. It's eye-catching. So there's actually some good news in the midst of all this. Important to note. So, retiring once, and by that we mean retiring once and on your own terms. You may decide, of course, that you want to go back. Oh, you know, they've made me an offer I can't refuse. I've heard that more than once. Well, given your experience, extremely good looks, and your popularity, I can understand why they want you back. See, Ron, I'm telling you, I don't believe it. So what could that mean for you in terms of having that independence, and how do you think about that? Well, what's the retirement savings by age? And by the way, this is from synchronybank.com/blog/median-retirement-savings-by-age/. I just thought I'd
That's a little long
the whole
to
thing.
Remember.
Thank you so much, Dennis. I won't give you a quiz on that part. But anyway, Americans in their 30s should have approximately 1 to 2 times their annual salary saved. Wow, that's a lot of money saved in long term. So these numbers are high, granted. Mm. And what's the median? Not even close. But these are the rule of thumb given by some financial experts on how much individuals should have saved in their retirement accounts for a goal of retiring by the age of 67, which for many now will be the full retirement age for Social Security as
Correct.
Well. Now, Americans in their 40s, 3 to 4 times their annual salary. And I just wrote a rough here. If your annual salary at that point was $60,000 a year, I just tried to pick some kind of an average that I thought was an average. The amount there would be $180,000 to $240,000. Pretty tall order
yeah,
there,
that's,
right?
That's
pretty good. Americans in their 50s, 6 to 7 times their annual salary. And I just wrote an annual salary here of $70,000, so that would be $420,000 to $490,000. Now, Heidi, you had some input about that when we were talking about this before the show. Do you recall what that was?
Well, and these are sort of like targets to give you like a mental idea of where you should try to get to. But we all know that life happens in the meantime, and things happen unexpectedly, and there's stressors in different types of parts of your life. So if you get off track or you're not there, it doesn't mean that you stop or you quit. It just lets you focus a little bit more on, yeah, I need to pay attention to that now because I know I'm off track or I'm behind. But it is, you can always change your future. So if you look today and look around and you think you're a little behind, you can change your future by making some changes. So
it is,
don't get discouraged.
Truly, truly, never too late. And I've seen this again and again and again. Well, okay, I guess we didn't do enough. Well, according to the plan, no, you did not. But what adjustments could we make? And what could make sense? Well, I guess we could do this, this, and this. So all of a sudden, when we see the numbers, they're not working. That happens sometimes. We get it. Okay, so what do I do about it? All right, here's what you can do. So you change the retirement age a bit, and it's amazing. The effect of compounding, the effect of the focus on making that happen. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have, I was thinking, honestly, personally, we weren't there at those ages.
Nope.
Not at all. So, you know, personally, that hadn't happened. We were a single earner family and, you know, three children and all the rest. We had some other goals going on and we were trying to grow a business. So this particular retirement savings things did not happen at those ages for us. But we've continued to make adjustments. I live this stuff every day. And the same things that we do, that we're recommending to our clients, if you look at the mutual funds, frankly, that we own personally, Jill and I, they're the very same ones we're recommending to clients.
Right.
But why do we know about those? Well, they have some history and all the rest. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just saying. Those things that we're talking about are what we live and eat.
And in my 40s, I had to start at square one. So I had to start over. So, you know, you just have to keep pushing and just keep in your mind that I'm going to keep adding to that and do what I can.
That's why movies like The Queen's Gambit are good. That message that you can do, you can change, you can achieve, and to believe in opportunity. And a bunch of it's mental. It's big part of that's mental.
We were talking this morning with Shay. We called her. Just to talk about goal setting, and I was telling Shay, you know, we need to have a program on goal setting, and she had some ideas about that. She's talking about getting an interview going with a local professional in that, on the goal setting. We can talk about some more of that in more detail rather than just a goal setting. We'll certainly be talking about it, but you make a great point. As you were talking about the Queen's Gambit, I was thinking I could barely stay seated watching parts of it. It was just, I wanted to cheer, you know, because of what she was able to achieve. So, you know, embrace those things. Americans in their 60s, 8 to 10 times their annual salary, which would be at $80,800 grand. Not a small sum.
That's a large lump sum.
It is. But why would one want to have that much? Well, think about it. In terms of withdrawal rate, a withdrawal rate of 4 to 6% is generally the amount that you're able to continue throughout a lifetime and still pass it on, whether it's to a spouse and or children or others as well. If your goal is to spend it down, then obviously you can have generally somewhat of a higher spend down rate. But for those who want to be relatively secure, and I always have to qualify this, but relatively secure in the fact that the money should be there for your life expectancy, 4 to 5% is probably a better withdrawal rate, maybe even 3 to 5 in terms of withdrawal rate. So that would mean on an $800,000 portfolio, a 3% rate is going to give you about $2,000 a month. At a 4% rate, it's closer to $3,500. Actually, it's about $3,000 a month, a little less than $3,000 a month. So thinking of it in those terms, what is the money supposed to do? Oh, yeah, I guess it'd be to draw income. Now, for some clients, it's continuing to grow it. They have no need of income. Oh, okay, I wish it was there. But, you know, if they're conservative enough in their goal setting and in their spending, they love just seeing it grow. And for what it can do, perhaps not for them, but their children and others, charity too. So all of a sudden, it's somewhat like a garden to me, turning to philosophy. It's amazing what can happen and how much freedom it can give you. So to a significant degree, it's freedom to allow you to say, how can I pull some of this responsibility back to myself, given, you know, what Congress is doing? And I've said this to a few clients. Mark Twain had a great quote a while back. Suppose you were an idiot and a member of Congress. But I repeat myself. So there are a lot of things in our lives that we cannot control. And one of those, obviously, is Washington, D.C. So I'm speaking to myself as a part of this. How do we pull that influence, that control back to ourselves? What can you do about the future? And that's what we're talking about here this morning. Yeah, let's do the bucket thing with Heidi, shall we?
Okay. The bucket thing.
You bet.
Right. So, again, this is from our Flourish class that we taught a couple years ago. And we talked about the three types of money. So how to organize your money, how to invest your money. Those are common questions that we got. So we have split the money up, and a lot of people have heard about this like as the bucket approach. But what we did is we look at today money. Today money is money that you need now. You need now, or maybe you need in the next 12 to 18 months. This money should be easy to access and be invested in something very low risk. So what maybe should you invest in if you're looking to invest this today money? This would be something conservative like cash, money markets, CDs. It could be bond funds, short-term bond funds, savings accounts. It should be liquid and easy to access. And then how do you use this? You can use this kind of money as an emergency fund for unanticipated expenses. Daily living expenses, if you're in retirement and you're receiving income out of your portfolio, this would be the money that you're using over the next 12 months. So you could sacrifice return for this lower risk, but it protects you from volatility. And unfortunately, we have a great example last year, the month of March. If people remember, the market declined 35%. So if you're taking out that monthly amount, if you're invested in something very low risk that doesn't go up and down with the market, you don't have to sell something at a loss to get that monthly income. So by protecting that, you can weather those downturns a little bit better and give yourself some peace of mind that you're like, oh my goodness, the market just went down 35%. What am I going to do next month when I need my income? You have this put aside. So
much more efficient use of the money. Not necessarily. It's generally going to mean that you have to accept a lower rate of return on average on your funds than otherwise you might expect. But at the same time, from a fiduciary standpoint, a responsibility standpoint, the chances of you being able to scoot that money out to a longer time frame grow pretty dramatically if you're properly invested and have some of it thinking of short term and some drawing income.
Right. So the next pile of money would be your tomorrow money. Now, tomorrow money would be money that you might need in the next 10 years, that you're planning on accessing in the next 10 years. So this could include money to cover your income for the next 10 years, or maybe it could be education expenses that you know your children are going to have, or maybe you know you're going to have some weddings, or maybe your business is going to require more money. So just looking at the next 10 years. So in this case, you might want to look at some insurance products that could offer you downside protection in the long term. You might want to look at some market-based investments, mutual funds, stocks, and bonds. And your investment mixture should be conservative to a moderate risk, and you should look for returns that are appropriate in that area.
And many, I would say, perhaps don't allow themselves to think about those things and or haven't thought enough about it. That's why we have the class, and that's why we encourage people to come in and talk to us. Because all of a sudden, then, you can start thinking, obviously, we've got other things going on in our lives, don't we? Careers, jobs, spouses, all the rest require time, and children too. Given that time, we think, you know, now that the children are all moved out, we can buy that boat we've always wanted and make them feel incredibly jealous because we have it.
Or make them want to come visit you because you
have it. That's even better. Yes. Yes, you'll need to come and see us. The weather's going to be great this weekend. Winter is going to go away, isn't
eventually.
It, at some point here? Yeah.
After it arrives, it will go away.
Yeah, after
right.
it arrives.
Yeah. Tonight.
We
tonight,
get
yeah.
caught up with the snow. The averages are not in our favor right now, are they? Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay, so we have one more area to talk about, and this is your beyond money. So this is the money that you need in the distant future. This is money that you probably won't need to access for about 10 years. And this money needs to be working to help you to keep replacing the money you're using in today and tomorrow. So this is your long-term money. You can invest in long-term funds to build wealth because you're replacing those extinguished in the other two categories. So you want to look at more of a moderate to an aggressive risk level in this area, and your investments can be a mixture of market-based investments with higher potential returns. So this can include stock, international mutual funds, growth, mutual funds, a lot of different things out there.
Bitcoin. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. That was a joke.
This is also maybe somewhere where you're looking at long-term money for long-term care. What sort of products are you investing in that may give you that benefit in the future? So
can you, now you're talking about the today, tomorrow, beyond, different needs, different. So if a couple or person has several accounts, IRA and or 401k.
Sure.
Or can they split those up and say, all right, this 401k is going to be my tomorrow money, and I'll do a conservative to moderate investment, and then this 401k over here will be our beyond money, so we'll have that one invested differently. Do some people do that, or can you do it that
Absolutely.
Way?
Absolutely. We
Good
do
job,
it in the IRAs.
Ron.
We do it in the 401ks. Yeah, you can split those up, and as Heidi was speaking, I was thinking we've got clients with 10, 12, 15 different accounts because each of them have a separate purpose and or a goal. Whether it's a Roth, IRA, each of them have generally their own tax qualifications. By the way, before I forget, we're going to be talking about the issue with 1099s. This is a rabbit trail, but I want to remember to say this, insert this. 1099s, we've encountered quite a bit that are incorrect. So we've asked Shelley to join us next week briefly to talk about the 1099 issue that we're seeing. A lot of financial firms are giving incorrect information out there, so we need to make people aware of that.
And we're experiencing a lot of questions, so we thought we'd respond by giving some of this information out, things you can look for, you know, what does this box mean, what does this code mean, so that you can help make sense of those tax documents that you get.
You bet. All right, so moving ahead with the long-term money, part of that is taking a look into the future. Obviously, where should the best returns generally come from? What areas are currently undervalued? And accompany what might be lower risk as well, given that undervalued situation. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you all set, Heidi?
That's it for today.
Great. Thank you. And Shay was going to call in. Is she on the line here?
Yes, Shay Pataja is in from Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Shay.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hi, Shay.
Hey,
thanks for calling in. So we were talking about this at different phases of life, and you know, we really got into it. I thought it was an interesting conversation before the radio show, and wanted to hear your inputs on it. So 40s, yeah, specifically about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now that I'm in the decade, no, I think my input on that is that people, I've noticed like in your 20s, everyone's trying to figure it out. They're not really paying attention to who's doing what, because you're just trying to get your degrees and get your career going and figure life out, maybe pick a spouse. And then in your 30s, you get a little bit more serious and people start having families. But I feel like in the 40s, what I've noticed with my friends, that there's a lot more comparison happening. So who has one house? Who has two houses? Who's living on the water? What car do they drive? How many kids do they have? Do they live here only half the year? I have one friend who is already retired. So it's easy to get into the comparison game and then try to keep up with the Joneses. And no one is showing what's actually in their retirement accounts. So,
yeah, it's not a conversation piece you have at a party. Well, I've got now 100,000. Yeah. You don't hear that, do you?
I hear regret. Like, why didn't I buy Amazon or Bitcoin? I hear more regret stories than I hear people sharing what they've got. So that's why I really liked the article, because it helps benchmark where you could aim towards being. And my mom and dad always encourage me, because they're like, you are just so much farther ahead than we ever were at your age. I mean, we had three little kids. They were building houses and moving. I mean, it was just chaos at that, you know, when my dad and mom were 40. So
sure.
It's just interesting, and it's encouraging to hear that, you know, some people turn around, and I've heard people who had everything set and then lost it all with unfortunate circumstances. So you really just have to stay focused on your own thing.
Right. And Shay, we were mentioning too earlier before the show how I like this one quote in this section where it said, hopefully by now you've eliminated your education debt. And I told you guys that I was 37 before I paid off my student loans. So it sort of just brings that back.
I was 37 too. I was 37 too. And, you know, my student loans were at 1.5% interest rate.
That's
and I was advised not to hurry and pay those off, because it would help with my credit if I didn't want to have credit cards. So, yeah, I didn't even have a credit card until I was 37. I paid off my student loans, did a happy dance, and thought, well, I guess I'll get a credit card now just to have for credit purposes. But yeah, everybody's doing it different, and having those student loans paid off is amazing. It's a great feeling.
It is a great feeling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Shay,
yes,
how many homes do you have?
You know, just one, Ron. Just one.
Really? I have two. No, I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think, like, man, I have a couple friends who've gotten cottages just for Airbnbs, and they're doing that as a side business. And I'm like, that's a nice goal to have eventually. But yeah, I more or less look around and think of little goals. I tend to be someone who spends a lot more energy building my side hustle as a coach and enjoying that part of things. So hey, it's each their own. I don't know.
Nice.
That's what I got to say.
I think the big thing is don't get caught in the comparison game. Don't allow yourself to do that, because often those who are spending the most, and we all get it, have the smallest savings on the side. Don't get caught in that trap of the appearances. We hear the budget professionals talk about that a lot. You know, you don't have to drive the best car in the lot to be successful. It's often putting those things off into the future, especially the more expensive items that are depreciating assets.
Yeah, a lot of times it's those quiet savers that come into our office who are best positioned for a retirement. So
the millionaire next door, you wouldn't know it by looking at them, and you wouldn't know it by looking at their vehicle either.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's a marathon of small sacrifices, right?
It is.
I think people think they have to be extreme in order to save a lot, and you don't have to be extreme either. You just don't get a cocktail every time you go out to dinner, or...
What?
Yeah, I know, Ron.
That's particularly offensive.
Yeah. I don't know, that's pretty radical, Shay.
Shay's got some crazy ideas over here. There's my opinion. I've given, I tend to spend my money on other things that go down the road. So
appreciate it. Thanks, Shay.
Yep. Bye-bye.
So, yeah, that's the reality of it. And before we go on here, do we have time for the Shay stats?
We do
need to play those, shall we?
Shay actually recorded these before the show, so we're going to play a recording of the Shay stats for this week. Random stats of financial interest.
Are you ready for some Shay stats? I've got good ones this week. The S&P 500 closed at an all-time high on Monday, January 25th, 2021, finishing the day at 3,855. Just 13 individual stocks in the index also closed at an all-time high on Monday, January 25th of 2021, and that's from BTN Research. There's been some talk about what is the average number of Americans who have died and has it increased in 2020. I've got some numbers for you here. In 2018, 2,839,000 Americans died. In 2019, there were 2,855,000 Americans that died. And an estimated 3,271,000 Americans died in 2020. That's from the Center for Disease Control. Here's some good news. 6 out of every 7 full-time workers surveyed, so that's 86%, in October of 2020 are investing money for their retirement, mostly through an employer-sponsored pre-tax plan. They surveyed a little over 2,000 workers for this, and the source is Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. Other good news, 36% of stimulus payment money received by Americans in March of 2020 for the CARES Act was put into savings, while 35% was used to pay down debt. That's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. We've also heard that it's a seller's market out there. Realtors are talking about it, homeowners are talking about it, but I've got some numbers here to back that up. 10 years ago, on December 31st of 2010, there were 3 million existing homes for sale nationwide. Well, there were just 1 million existing homes for sale nationwide as of December 31st, 2020. 2 years ago, there were 1.53 million existing homes for sale nationwide, and that's from the National Association of Realtors. Well, the pandemic forced approximately 60 North American oil field service companies into bankruptcy. The number of operating oil rigs in the United States, both on land and offshore, has increased for 10 consecutive weeks through last Friday, January 29th. The current total of 384 operating oil rigs nationwide is 57% higher than the low point of 244 in August of 2020. That's from Baker Hughes, Hayes & Boone. Also, we talk a lot about education. So, what is the ROI on going to school? I found this really interesting. 17 U.S. states offer free community college education, including Arkansas, California, Maryland, Oregon, and New York. All 17 states do enforce different eligibility requirements to qualify for the free tuition, community service, or a minimum high school GPA. And that's from the College Post. All right. Thanks for tuning in. There's your Shay Stats.
All righty. Thank you, Shay Pataja. You know, I was looking at the sheet there, the last one, we can't get all of these in. And you were just talking about this. Evander Kane is a hockey player for the San Jose Sharks. He has a 7-year contract, pays him $7 million a year. So far, he's 3 years into that, and he just filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. He lists $10 million of assets, but $27 million in liabilities. Mm. He's making $7 million a year.
That's a huge credit card bill.
Yeah.
So
That's rough. May
look good there with his snazzy Lamborghini or whatever he's tootling around in. But
yeah, rough stuff financially.
Now, we don't know the situation there, but that is a stat nonetheless. Okay.
It is. I thought it was interesting to point out the change in the real estate inventory, 3 million to 1 million homes by the National Association of Realtors. That's dramatic, obviously. One-third the number of homes for sale now. That shows why they're all talking about, we need more inventory. Call us if you want to sell your home. We hear that a lot. So.
What was your thought on the relief dollars from the CARES Act? The Federal Reserve said 36% of the stimulus money that Americans got, they put into savings. So a little over a third of Americans put that check right into their savings. Mm-hmm. Another little over 35% used it to pay down debt. Is that what the government wanted or intended with the stimulus bill? Does that stimulate the economy?
No, it doesn't really stimulate the economy at all, but talk about responsible. It's certainly the most responsible thing to do, or among the most responsible things they could do.
Mm-hmm. And not targeted, obviously. People didn't need the money. They stuck it in their savings account.
Sure. And or pay down debt. In the end, hopefully it does help the economy. That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were thinking. Apparently some of them were thinking more deeply about it than just going out and buying another whatever. Yes. So saving for retirement. One last, I think we got time for a couple points here.
Sure.
The thing that I thought was very, very helpful in thinking about is put the finishing touches on your savings plan or make necessary changes. The estimated median savings for those in their 60s is about $172,000, not $600,000 to $800,000. If you're still far from the savings benchmark of 8 to 10 times your salary, think about what assets you can monetize. Turn those into increasing income for yourself. Perhaps it's pouring your purse into, or a portion of it, into your own head. Maybe it's thinking about more deeply about what the opportunities are and what your interests and talents are as well. Is there a way to invest some of that in your own career potential or capabilities as well? You're generally going to have the best of all returns from that by furthering your own education. That's significant. So again, it's always thinking about what can I do with what there is. It's bringing that control. And I'll admit it, I often don't want to hear that. You know, it's not in someone else's control. It's under my control. So what can I do about it? Begin thinking about this. Consult with a very good friend or friends that you work with. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think one thing people can think about if they feel like they've fallen short, they're in their 60s, think about working a little bit longer towards that 70 age mark, because your Social Security benefit is growing 8% a year. So by delaying, you're increasing that future income that you will receive. So that will help maybe offset some of the lack of a healthy portfolio.
Keep in mind that your employer is probably a lot more flexible than you might give them credit for. Think about cutting back one day or 2 days a week and pursuing another interest or career, perhaps, that gives you more interest and enthusiasm and excitement. What other skills might you garner by being in that career?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So it can be a variety of things. None of this is etched in stone. And if you're a good employee, you'll be surprised how flexible they want to be to you and to those you love, perhaps, about what you might do with the time that you have in serving them and or serving others to increase your skills and or increase your payroll.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.